express yourself.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm back. Diane McGachran here with another edition of Talk Line and also Peter, co-host Peter. Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you, Peter. Did you handle things for 2 weeks while I was away?
Well, part of it, yes. The other, and Gabe, of course, jumped in we couldn't. I wasn't here last Friday.
Okay.
The one before, though, I was here. So.
Good. Well, thank you, Gabe, for stepping in. And, yeah, we're back. There's lots going on.
A lot.
Yeah, so let's... we have the numbers here, but we also have a caller. So we're going to take our caller, and then we'll give out some numbers. Mm-hmm. We have Sunny from Bethel. Good morning, Sunny. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone have a safe weekend and happy safe hunting. Many times that we've learned to go hunting as young children turning to adults, it's good to be cautious. Make sure that what you're walking on is solid ground and make sure the ice is good. Oh, okay.
Poyana, yes, thank you very much, Sunny. Good advice, yes.
Yeah,
this
thank
time
you.
Of the year, you have to be on your toes and, you know, be very observant about conditions, especially out there. So even on a river, you know, it looked like it might be clear enough to go boating, which it might be in front of Bethel, you know, and some other villages, but conditions can change quickly. You know, we got... still a whole lot of ice coming down yet.
Yeah. Yeah, this was kind of one of the earlier breakups happening. Mm-hmm. All right, John Nick. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
I just missed on the boating. I bet they're out boating, but if they are, please wear your life jacket and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And be, when you're going out of a slough, make sure that somehow you can pay attention to it so you don't get locked out of there.
Yes.
You know, it's good to take refuge in sloughs because the ice are so big they can't get in there. The water will come up. But make sure you have at least a little grub in case you have to sidewash.
Mm-hmm.
And tent and tarp and rain gear. You know, this weather changes so drastically. And if you are boating, please wear your life jacket. Watch out for ice. And make sure if you go out hunting on the boat, make sure you get out of the slough. And make sure you can be able to come home, you know. And have a cell phone if you do have one. Just to contact people, make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, please don't drink and drive and enjoy the breakup. We didn't have enough flood, which is good so far, you know. Less cleaning and stuff like that. Anyway, everyone, please have a good weekend and watch out for your pedestrians and boating. Have a safe one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That's right. You know, this morning, Mark and a couple other people were on the KYUK coffee, and they talked about the breakup. And Mark mentioned we still have 100 miles of ice yet to come down.
Right.
And McGrath haven't moved yet, you know, so their ice is still in front of their village. And then there's a couple of jams that are still, you mm-hmm. know, the one, the traditional one below Antioch, you know, that's year after year, you know, we have to keep an eye on that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the one at Birch Crossing, and there's some ice stoppage, you know, below Kalskak and above Tuluksak also. So, yes, there's still lots of ice, and, you know, it looks like in front of Beth it looks clear, but, mm-hmm. it's, you know, things can change. In a hurry.
It kind of fools me every year because we get this one moment where everything's open, but a few days later, a ton starts coming by.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I used to get fooled, but now I'm not.
Yeah, well, you're getting wiser. Yeah,
it's taken 20 you know, years, then, but yes.
Yeah, there's some warnings out. You know, today we have a flood watch in effect through 4 p.m. Friday. And,
this afternoon.
This afternoon, yes. For upper and lower Kalskak, you know, and then flood watch is continuing for the Kuskokwim River near upper and lower until 4 p.m. And then Bethel and Kuskokwim Delta today, there'll be, you know, weather is an issue today for some villages and people in areas. And there's rain and snow likely in the morning, then rain in the afternoon, snow accumulation up to 1 inch, and highs in the mid-30s to 40s, north winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. And tonight also, you know, to be on the lookout for the weather. Rain likely in the evening, then a chance of rain and snow after midnight, little to no snow accumulation, lows in the lower to mid-30s, northeast winds 10 to... And then there's a lot of gusts, and there's also bits of snow and strong winds out there, so... And that's going to affect, you know, the flow of the ice, and, you know, it can... And the waters are on the rise in several places around, you know, around the Kuskokwim. So it's, you know, breakup is not over yet. It's going to be a while yet. So people need to be vigilant.
Very good. Okay. We are going to give out the numbers here. You can call us at 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 1-800-995-8954. You can email radio@kyuk.org. We'll read your email on the air, and you can remain anonymous on your calls and your email. You know, yesterday was the Kuskokwim campus's graduation.
I heard.
One of our large ones, and it was just really beautiful. It went smoothly, and it was all people were there, and like to see the expression on students' faces and then their families and little kids looking up on the stage at like their mom graduating. Yay. It's so cool. And Esther Green was the commencement speaker, and she said a couple of things that I thought were really memorable, and I would like to reflect on more. And maybe you've heard this, Peter, because she talked about things she's learned from elders herself. And one thing was how important it is for Yupik people to, when they're learning Western knowledge, that the Yupik people should be the ones who decide what's useful and what's not.
Wow.
And not have Western culture tell you what you're supposed to know, but instead you are in the driver's seat. And if there's something useful in that Western knowledge base, use it. And if there's not, let it go.
Amen. I agree.
Isn't that cool? I really
cool.
like that. And I think
yes.
Sometimes I've heard elders talk about that, and I like the idea of, put Yupik people should be the ones who decide that and not the old way where Western kind of told you.
Absolutely. But, you know, on that subject, you know, we both learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
I learned, you know, from... Of course, the Western civilization, or you know, Western cultural, and then of course we listen intently to our elders because they survived, and their reason why they're still around is because they
survived without guns,
and
boats and snow machines. Well, the other thing is it's a two-way street because I find things in the Yupik culture that are helpful and healing for me. So then I get to also bring that in, and it just really has. Anyway, it was very beautiful what she talked about.
Great. Good job.
So we have a caller, Lucy Upanik. Upanik, yes, from Bethel. Good morning, Lucy. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Good.
I volunteered to help the Yupik elders here at Bethel, Alaska, to keep this building safe. A reminder, we would surely appreciate it if the community could stop donating freezer-burned, outdated, and spoiled fishing birds to the Yupik elders.
Okay.
I'm sure dog mushrooms can also take old fishing birds, too. We do appreciate the leftovers and donated birds and fish, but please stop giving us spoiled food.
You know, thank you for that, Lucy. I always wonder about that because people do this time of year, they start emptying their freezers, but I'm glad you called.
I volunteer to help this building so the elders live in a safe place. Some of us would appreciate it, but Peter, I would also like to... hope for you to have a safe spring breakup.
Thank you.
Yes. God bless you.
Thank you, Guyana.
Uh-huh.
Well,
okay.
Thanks for calling, Lucy. We appreciate that call.
Thank you. And next up, we have Alex from Bethel. Good morning, Alex. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I know that, you know, I try to represent people who live in Bethel, and because some of those people are people from my village who choose to live in Bethel. Mm-hmm. Some of my grandchildren and my sons and daughters lives here too in Bethel, and we've been living here for over 20 years. And I never dare say that I'm from Bethel, because I respect the Yupik tradition and culture. In the Yupik tradition and culture, what they tell us is that when we relocate from our own village to another village, give those people respect and do what they ask us to do, you know, with respect to what is good for the entire community. And for that reason, last Yupik, I believe it was last Yupik talk show, not yesterday, but last week, mm-hmm. I mentioned that some of us who live in Bethel, like myself, my family, my friends and relatives from Yukon River and throughout the Delta, it's time to organize a small organization to represent the villages we come from. Like, for example, I come from Marshall and Russian Mission, and I have relatives who live in Kuskokwim River, like in Akachuk and elsewhere. I tend not to get political when it comes to well-being of other people, Yupik people, and other people who lives here. What I said last week was, in Yupik, was that, you know, we need a small organization that talks to AVCP, Ojibwak Native Council, because there are many, many people who lives here in Bethel and works here and pays taxes to the city of Bethel. Like myself, I still choose to pay taxes, sales taxes to the city at age 74 right now. And the reason why I do that is because it benefits the community, not necessarily benefits me, but benefits the community. Yeah. And what we need is something that, or a small organization or representatives on ONC Council and also on AVCP, because when we try to speak up in one of the meetings like that's led by either ONC or AVCP or YKC, they tell us to talk to our representative, that representatives our districts or units in our region. That becomes impossible, you know, because, you know, the communication is not like that in our region here. And what we need is we need someone who will speak for for the community members that are from the villages. Like, for example, I've seen a lot of changes in YKC. I was a YKC board member and served as a vice president for 14 years, from the time it organized until the time it, until about 1981. And one of the reasons why proposed at the time to have that what's called Kavaktavik, right next to YKC, It's for the people who, you know, we propose that for the people, on behalf of the people that don't have any money or paperwork to help them stay in that community and get YKT paid from it. It was not that idea. The idea was not that. It was to help people who are patients that come here and have a good place to stay. And I am sorry to say this, but last week, I think it was last week, there was a patient from Yukon River who slept in steam house, because where YKC authorized for him to stay, they didn't let him in. So he looked around and stayed in the steam bath all night long. And he was not in good health either. I saw this guy while I was in the ER waiting for one of my grandchildren, I believe it was, who went to clinic that time. So what we need is we need voice out there. And that's what I wanted to say. Good morning to you, and I'll sit up and listen.
Guyana.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Good morning. Bye-bye.
Okay. So is that relating to, like, having some kind of representation of villages for what things that happen in Bethel, like some of the decisions that get made, or just to have, just to be heard, because things that happen in Bethel do ripple out to the whole region, and people are here a lot, in and out, so.
Yes.
That makes sense.
That's a lot of people, yeah. That does make sense.
I'm glad he called about that. We have another caller who's going to be anonymous, and they're from Bethel. Good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So I just wanted to give a little suggestion. There are tons of vehicles that leave Healy's restaurant drunk driving. I think that the cops should set up checkpoints and stop people. Based on their driving, there's been multiple times where we see drunk drivers in front of us or past us, almost hit us. I don't know how the cops missed it, but maybe they should set up a checkpoint at, like, the cultural center and stop people just randomly. Hmm. But a lot of drunk drivers leave Healy's. That place is like a bar.
Huh. Okay. Hmm. I live near there, and I haven't noticed that myself, but that seems like something important to look into. I know they have a 2-drink limit, but who knows? Someone's ordering more drinks for their friend or whatever.
I don't go there and drink. So.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's a great suggestion.
Thanks.
All right. Next up, we have someone from Tuluksac, Willie Phillips. Good morning, Willie. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah. Our river is rising up slowly, and the ice shifted front of Tuluksac River, and that middle sandbar is underwater. And I want to inform the boaters, they go hunting, not to go behind the ice floes. It shifted, in some part, the ice go up on the sites, so we're gonna maybe see more movement today. I want to inform the hunters from Tuluksac, or other villages not to go behind, the ice floes, and I just want them to be safe and tell their relatives to go, know where they're at, they're going hunting.
Don't go behind the what? Which one? Don't go behind?
Behind the ice floe. But make sure if they're gonna go, so if the ice starting to move, to have escape plan for themselves, for their safety.
Hmm. Yes.
Hmm. Okay. Good. That's a good detail.
Yes.
That's
okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Willie, for calling.
Guyana, Willie.
Oh. Yeah.
Guyana.
Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. Yes.
Good
morning. You know, there's lots of do's and don'ts, you know, breakup time or, you know, generally when you're out boating, you know, one of them is, you know, that we heard, we got reminded that, you know, if you happen to go out boating during breakup, you know, it's better to go upstream from your village, you know, so that when there's a flow of ice that suddenly comes in your area, you'll be able to
get home
back to your village, you know. And
oh,
but if you're
gosh.
Downstream, then you don't know when the ice is coming in. And so if you happen to be downstream, then you'll have to find refuge, you know, maybe a slough or pull your boat up on the ground or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it might be a run for, you know, quite some time. And if you're not prepared, you can be in trouble.
You can get stuck,
or,
yeah. Okay, so, wow, that's a nice suggestion. Another good detail that I think is
so
good.
There's, you know, and in Tuluksac, you know, there's that one lake that Earl and I, we named it Overdue Lake. Because there was always somebody overdoing there that we'd have to go check up on. So I don't know
stuck.
What that name of that lake, but it's above their village.
Uh-huh.
And year after, or quite often, there's somebody overdoing there. So we didn't know what the name of it was, you know. So when we were talking on a plane, we would say that, we better go check.
Where is that?
It's a few miles above Tuluksac, on the right side going up. You know, and it's a favorite hunting spot for the villagers upstream around Tuluksac. So
yeah.
Lots of birds in that area.
Oh, that's cool. All right, so we have a couple of Tundra Drum announcements that I'm going to read. And I also wanted to just put the word out, and this probably applies in villages too, as well as Bethel, but the number of loose dogs out, oh my goodness, there are a lot. And a child was mauled by a dog and had to be medevaced to Anchorage.
Oh, no,
and then
terrible.
I know someone who has had a terrible dog bite. She was out jogging. She had a terrible dog bite on her hip. I just, we have a real problem. We need a full-time dog catcher is what we need. Mm-hmm. Now, it looks like I'm going to read something. I'm going to read an email. Is that right, Petra? Okay. Can you turn the screen just my way a little bit? Thanks. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read this out. Good morning. Don't forget to thank God for this given day, weather. Oh, whether it's, I'm sorry, they spelled weather like raining. Okay. Whether it's rainy, windy, chilly, hot, it's a beautiful God-given day. Boating
yes.
and bird hunting is here, so wear life jackets, please, in all caps. Your life is precious and people and friends, and you are not replaceable. School is almost out and being brighter out longer. Okay, wait a minute. And it's brighter out for longer. So talk to your youth before they go outside to make good choices, just so they don't get disciplined by jail guards. May is, quote, Military Appreciation Month. So show them appreciation for their service. Thank you to my daughter and son-in-law who live in Florida. Thank you, Peter, and the rest who serve. Make good choices and give a hug and a smile and a hi. Safe weekend to all. This is my message because I care. Well, now that's a very beautiful message. It's full of a lot of gratitude. And,
yes.
And hey, if you want to call in and say something you're grateful for, you should go ahead and do that too. All right. So I'll give out the numbers again in case people want to call or email. They're 543-5985. 543-2756. You can also call from anywhere in the world, well, anywhere in the United States, at 1-800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. So we have a caller from Kalskag, Walter Morgan. Good morning, Walter. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Giving you a rigor report for Lower Kalskag. It's still holding yet, although the ice looks awfully rotten. And upper Kalskag skipped a little bit. But I don't know what's holding it. The water's coming up. So it looks really rotten, though. So anytime we're hoping it'll move. So that's my report this morning.
Okay. Sounds. What's the water level like up there?
It's higher than last year. It's still coming up. It came up like about 3 feet last night.
Okay.
And we have a little island right in front of Lower. It's covered now.
Uh huh.
So it looks like it's, you know, I don't know what's holding it. It's pretty black and rotten. We've been having all this rain.
Huh. Yeah, well, you know, below the village, you know, from the pictures I've been seeing, there's some few big sheets of ice that are, you know, that are holding up progress, you know, and then there are some places I understand that the original ice from this winter is still intact in several places between your village and Tuluksak, you know, but the water, you can expect the waters to rise within the next, you know, some time, because once that ice jam releases at Birch, you know, then you're going to see a rush of water come through.
A lot of times, too, you know, the old river will go before us. You know?
Yeah.
But it looks awfully rotten. There's nothing, mm-hmm. you know, I measured like 2 feet of ice and needle ice and
mm-hmm.
needle ice yeah. about a foot, half of it. So it's not very, but they say, you know, it holds, it bends, so it holds better than thick ice. That's what they say.
Yeah, and then the temperature has been kind of cool, you know, so, you know, once we see a little bit of sunlight, then that's going to speed up progress, you know, and so we just have to keep our eyes open and keep, you know, just in case, put stuff off the low areas that you
yeah.
might miss.
You know, a lot of times they say it's really rotten ice, but, you know, this ice, like I say, it'll hold. And
yeah.
a lot of people get into trouble, you know, saying, oh, it's rotten.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a caution. You gotta look for those kind of things.
Okay, yeah, we're going to probably hear from somebody that's been up in the air. I think maybe if we heard from Earl, I understood that he might have took a flight last night, and maybe Mark might have, you know. So if we hear from these guys, we'll, you know. So keep your ears open. We'll probably get a full report in a little bit.
Oh, okay.
All right. Oh. So thank you for calling, Walter.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate your update.
Okay, good. Well, thank you, everyone calling in and giving ideas, tips, and cautions. This we're in a time of transition with the river breaking up, so it's good to listen to that. I'm going to read some. I have some announcements here. Now, tonight is the breakup bash. That'll be tonight at 5 o'clock at the Seawall. Thanks to AC for sponsoring free hot dogs for all who can make it. Mm. I forgot what band is going to be playing. There will
be
music.
More than one.
Yeah, there's going to be music. Yeah.
And a dance group from the high school.
Oh.
High school dancers Good. Will be up on a stage or up on a platform, and
wow, okay,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, so the breakup bash is happening. Let's see there. For those of you who like to attend AA, which is Alcoholic Anonymous meetings, they happen every Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30 at Bethel Family Clinic. If you have any questions about these meetings, call Dennis Raines at 543-3773. That's AA meetings that happen every, I'm sorry, I said Thursdays. It's every Tuesday from 5:30 to 6:30, at the Bethel Family Clinic. Okay. So we have, open lines here, so anyone can call. We'll give out the numbers again.
Yes, you know, we'd love to hear from you from anywhere you are. Mm-hmm. So feel free to just talk about anything. This is your talk, talk line show that's meant for you to release anything that's on your mind, you know, to let other people know. And the numbers are 543-5985. That's 543-KYUK. And 543-2756 or 800-995-8954. Radio at KYUK.org. So our lines are open.
Yeah. Now, something else that Esther Green, who was the commencement speaker at KUC's graduation yesterday, something else she said in her speech I thought was really cool, too, was, and I had heard Peter Jacobs used to talk about this, too, and that is that everything we learn in life, all the knowledge that we gain, really is not something that we own. It's not something like a possession that you keep to yourself. And she talked about how important it was that knowledge belongs to everyone and to the graduates. She said, whatever you've learned, you need to take back to your people, to your communities, and that it's whatever knowledge you have is to be shared freely.
Wow.
That was nice, huh? Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah. I know. That was just really cool. So, you know, and she talked about how when she first went to college, she said it was like entering an alien dimension. It's like a foreign land. And she didn't know anyone, and people didn't know her, and she didn't know anyone that she sat with. And then later she entered a program we have at the university, Rural Human Services. And Rural Human Services is a very different kind of college program. And so she talked about her experience because she's an elder instructor for that program. And she, so she was it was a really neat speech with some really good parts to it.
Wow.
I think there'll probably be like a KYUK story on the graduation.
Wow.
There might have been one on the news.
Yes, that sounds exciting. Yes, I know she's always a very interesting person, you know, and would be nice to hear from her on the
I know. I always tell her, Esther, you should call in the talk line.
Yes.
So she said, no. So did you – so what do you have? You have an announcement?
Well, these are in small print, and I didn't
bring
my reading glasses.
I'll read it for you. Okay, this is a message. Okay, so – I have that. Yeah, I have this on my list too. Okay, Donlin Gold invites the public to workshops and an open house on Thursday, May 10th. From 1:30 to 7 p.m. at the Upiat Cultural Center. I don't know how to pronounce that in the middle name. That one.
Yeah.
The Cultural Center in Bethel. So that's Thursday, May 10th. That's next Thursday, 1:30 to 7 p.m. It's an open, it's a workshop. Come and learn more about the Donlin Gold Project, from tailings to water management, and participate in three workshops. So there's, throughout the afternoon, it looks like there's going to be three groups and workshops. One is on tailings from 1:30 to 2:15. Another is on water management from 2:30 to 3:15. And then barging from 3:30 to 4:15.
Yes, and the dates are?
That's May 10th.
Okay.
From 1:30 to 7, the open house. So it looks like they've divided into workshops. So from 1:30 to 7, there's going to be these three workshops that happen through the afternoon. They'll also have an open house where everyone can come then from 5 to 7. Donlin Gold parent company is Nova Gold. Well, Donlin Gold parent companies, Nova Gold and Barrick Gold Corporation and Chilista Corporation, will be on hand to address any questions, comments, or concerns you may have. Mm-hmm. So that's a chance to meet with Donlin, Nova Gold, and Barrick Gold Corporation. So there'll be there'll be some good people that if you have a point of view, go and share it.
Yes, and then while we're waiting on for somebody to call in, you know, we have another weather update on the coastal waters on the Kuskokwim Delta. So today there's gale warning today. North wind 25 knot, becoming northwest 35 knot in the afternoon. Seas at 9 feet, and there's rain tonight. Northwest wind 30 knot, seas at 11 feet. So I'll continue some more of that weather warning and conditions, you know, after we take the next caller, which is Wilson from Bethel.
Good morning, Wilson. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hey, happy people.
Good morning.
I'm just pulling out of a parking lot, but I'm going to stop because you can't really be like those cab drivers and be on your phone and drive, you know. Anyway, that's a little tidbit on the cabs. I'll even shut off my vehicle. That's how nice I am.
Yeah, that's good that you stop. You know, that should be an example for a lot of people, especially when there's lots of traffic out there.
And people trying to swerve to potholes that are never ending. Just a little bit of water on them, they'll fall apart. And I think the DOT people are doing a good job of trying to maintain what they can.
Mm-hmm.
I notice it. They might have to change their batch a little bit, maybe put some concrete stuff in there. But right now it's just goober, you know, it dissolves when it gets wet. But anyway, that's my helpful advice. Because if you have a call to make and a complaint, you also should have some kind of direction that people can go toward the solution to the problem. Because talk line is good, but whiners and criers, you know.
Whiners and criers.
Yes. If you have no idea of how you can take care of a problem, I don't know. I got a stump though. You know, I ran into a stump. When it comes to OCS, notice how I paused.
Okay, wait.
And the world paused too. you know, I'm trying to help my daughter get her daughter back, my granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
in Anchorage. I've been there almost a year now.
Mm.
In a foster home that's non-native, and you know, we went through ICWA. ONC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take all the steps you can to try to bring your native child back to the native community. It don't work. You know, and I'm trying to figure out here in Bethel who represents ICWA or Child Welfare Act. No one. No one has no authority. ABCP, ONC, OCS, you know, everyone refers everything to Anchorage. And Bethel has no authority over nothing. And it's pretty sad how it's lip service throughout this whole decade after decade of what our native people are supposed to get and how they're supposed to be treated. It's all lip service. It can be written down, but that doesn't mean nothing. That's pretty sad, you know. And we're still dealing with it, and I'm going to try to do what I can to try to help my daughter. And even left a message through email and all that to the governor because... His people are really busy. They get a lot of complaints, and I'm being patient and waiting, but still no response. But anyway, you know, OCS, they really need help. You know, and I'm trying to help them serve our community better because there's no reason for my granddaughter to be in Anchorage, and my daughter's here, you know, been here, completed. She went through all the steps to. You know, they say, well, you need to do this in order to get your daughter back. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now you need to do this to get your daughter. And she went through treatment. She went to aftercare. She went to family systems. She went to everything,
mm-hmm.
complying with all their requests, and still no action is being taken. And,
okay.
You know, it's so sad the way it's working right now. And we're being patient, and I'm supporting my daughter in every way because that's what parents are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Especially when their own kids are turning their lives around and making good steps toward the future. I'll definitely help all I can because it's sad when you see your own child making wrong choices and landing in jail, and don't give up. You know, if that's happening to you now, don't give up because you know, someday soon to help from outside sources, you know, other people's prayers and all that, you know, people will begin to see the light.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be nice to everyone out there, even if they happen to be drinking. You know, I just let them know, you know, just don't drink today. Go to a meeting later.
Yeah.
Because I go to meetings and it's on the 29th, which is 1, 2, 3 weeks and 3 days from now, it'll be 27 years of staying sober and drug free.
Wow.
And I was one of those bad ones. And if I can do it, you know, anyone can do it.
Wow. That's amazing. And that's really nice.
Police department, I think they're doing okay, but not really in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Like calling back, if I call the chief of police and leave a message for him to call me about an issue, maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, after the issue is done and gone, he may call.
Okay.
Chief of police, are you listening? Because I know you are.
Stop.
You know,
I don't know
Green,
if he listens to Talk Line, but okay.
Wilson Green, 545-3320.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you guys have a good morning. And,
thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you know how the day turned out.
Okay,
yeah,
good,
all right,
good.
Thank you.
Bye.
I got a little update from Earl. You know, I was hoping that he would have called in so we could hear in detail about, I don't know how far he went, but I thought that I seen pictures that they took, you know, of McGrath area,
mm-hmm.
you know, between McGrath and Bethel. But he says that flew river last night. Napakiak was shifting but holding 95% ice-free Napaskiak to Quichluk with small ice chunks. Need to let people know lots of ice upriver yet. Akechuk Channel is shifting and routing. Quichluk ice-free. Akiak to Kaskokok is holding. Starting to weaken, can see few open leads. Did not go above Akiak. Oh, okay. Somebody else must have gone to McGrath then. So,
yeah.
All right. So
all right.
Keep them coming in. So we need to know, people need to know what's happening out there.
All right, so our lines are open. I'm going to give out.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to give out the numbers, and there's a couple other announcements that we can go over. Now, you are welcome to call and talk about anything that you want, any topic you can share with us on air. You can be anonymous if you'd like. So our numbers are 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 1-800-995-8954. You can also email radio@kyuk.org, and we'll read your email over the air. Grammar issues and all. Spelling, however you spell. All right, so I have a couple. Now, Wilson mentioned his sobriety for 24 years, which is fantastic. And I also want to point out that when they do research in Native communities, they find that Native communities have some of the highest sobriety rates of all populations in the United States. So what that means is more people are maintain sobriety in Native communities than other populations. So it's good to see that too. All right, we have John from Bethel. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line.
Oh, good morning. I've been seeing quite a few people in town that are homeless and stuck here in Bethel. They've been doing a lot of dumpster digging for food, and they're starving out there. And they I don't know why they don't like to go to a Covenant Church for soup or a hospital. But there are some people out there dumpster digging and eating some raw food. I just want to let the public know, see what we could do about that. Okay?
Thank you. Guyana.
Huh. Yes. Hello. Did he say that some people are actually going into dumpsters?
No, I really
I didn't catch
don't.
Quite that last
yeah.
part. All right. We have someone from Scammon Bay, Harley Sundown. Good morning, Harley. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hey, good morning. It's been a while.
I just had some
thoughts on the recent article on KYUK about Wayne Don and the Chalista deal that's been going on. And, you know, there's some very good people on the Chalista board. And I'm surprised that a lot of them have not really listened to Wayne Don and what his side of the story tells as far as, possibly being set up as a fall guy to the deeper issues that are happening with the incidents that happened that caused Wayne's turmoil. And so, you know, I think the board is still in a position to do something about correcting what happened to Wayne, and being a former board member and being familiar with the playbook that the majority has on dealing with issues like these, because I myself was party to the disciplinary actions that were taken during that time. And so this, you know, having been a former board member, this seems like it's a setup for Wayne's situation. And I think the shareholders need to wake up and see the pattern that the majority board has and their actions have taken, and the pattern that shows. And so, you know, I think Wayne's situation really needs to be looked at from a shareholder perspective. And that can only happen with the voting that's going to come up this year with the shareholder election. So I hope shareholders can, you know, wake up to see what's happening on the inside with the board and the politics that are going on that shouldn't be happening, because we have a lot of good people on the board that really need to see things with their own eyes. So that was my, that's the reason why I called.
Okay. Okay. Brianna Harley.
Yeah, yes, thank you.
Okay.
Next we have from Nebosiak, Earl. Good morning, Earl. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Peter. Mm-hmm. Good to hear from you. I wanted to talk about a little bit about the river road I saw last night, if that was okay with you guys.
Great, of course, thank
yes.
you.
Starting out from down on the mouth, like around the Tentatuliac area, was out in the Kuskokwim, it looked like it was ice free there.
Mm-hmm.
End of the ice pack, original ice, is down there by Galley, downstream of Galley. But from Galley to Johnson, was the main channel was pretty much intact, but that east channel had a lot of water, a lot of areas where ice can channel through.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson River was melting out all up and down from the Tundra villages all the way down to the mouth, but there was still some ice still floating around back and forth at the lower end of Johnson River.
Mm-hmm.
And going up towards Nepakiak, Nepakiak was starting to shift yesterday. We were down there yesterday, and I could see it just had started to shift, but no big movements there yet. Lumavec channel was open. Even the Lumavec River looked like no river there, and the channel that goes down below there was open, so there's a lot of room for ice to build over onto that side of the river. But looked like any time for the Pakiak to move out. There was an ice jam just downstream from Teddy Clark's slough. Those islands that are, of course, kind of shallow, that's where all the ice is accumulating from the river, but it just appears to be just melting out.
Hmm.
No big chunks that are causing problems for Nepauskak and Oscarville and Bethel. The channel was pretty much ice-free downstream from Nepauskak all the way to Bethel and all the way to Queeklook. There was still some ice up in the Queek River. Folks were trying to get up in there. There was the lower end was melted out, but inside the channel there was a lot of ice just floating around in there. Yet, and Queek River is out, as you guys know. It's ice-free. But the Akiksik channel, I was kind of surprised. I thought it would be more ice-free, but it's not. A few bends up from the Y is where it's big chunks are just holding in place and shifted black ice in place there. Weak, looks really weak around Akiksik. All the way to Akiksik and above to the Kuskokwim is still original ice with a few breaks in place.
Mm-hmm.
Water levels appear to be rising in that area. They probably come up with about two feet since breakup started or the melting process.
Mm-hmm.
The ice is jammed up, same place on the upper end of Kuskokwim. It's a problem for Akiak people. It's still intact and it still looks pretty solid right there. Because I think when the ice goes, we've seen where the river actually starts flowing towards Kuskokwim. That could be a problem a little later for boaters that are thinking the river is ice-free.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a lot of ice up above at the Accu-Chuck and Kusikwak, and all the way up towards Accu-Chuck. Between Accu-Chuck and Kusikwak, there was a shifting right on the bend right below Accu-Chuck, and mm-hmm. and the portage that goes over to the Horseshoe Lake towards Accu-Chuck,
yeah.
opened, it looked like it opened up about 25 feet, so things are happening in that area.
Okay.
Accu-Chuck had it looked like some activity there yesterday. It looked like it might have shifted yesterday, but it's still intact. and then looking up above Accu-Chuck, Tony's Bend Hall was still intact. The shortcut channel is it's a little shallower, I think, right there. So that's starting to rot out, and it had some shifting. And over towards Jaunuck, that looked like that Tulik side guy started shifting down towards Jaunuck. And then looking up from Majivik there, there was a it'd be a lot of work water right there but around Majivik, but a lot of ice yet above Majivik towards Tulik-Sack and up towards above Tulik-Sack too. So I don't know what's up above there. Water levels that I see there, you know, they're coming up. I can see they're coming over the Willow Islands there around Accu-Chuck, but still a long ways from anybody in trouble for flooding activity. So.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, that's that gives us a little better picture about what's happening around below, especially below Bethel. We haven't heard too much about that, but yeah. So
yeah, I apologize for not calling in. It's been a bit, it's been a hectic job.
Yeah, we understand. Yeah, we know how things are.
And just to let people know, because people are boating now. They mm-hmm. might think the breakup is over, and it's actually not, and they might get caught in the bind somewhere out there.
Yes, yes,
once
good advice.
Start flowing, there's not much going to hold it back. It'll start flowing and
okay.
be in trouble somewhere if you're certain.
Yes.
Briefly, guys, if you're out there, you know, you got to be careful.
Yes.
A couple guys are starting to boat around the same way around here, Oscarville and the Pusket guys mm-hmm. are starting to get their boats ready.
Okay.
I wouldn't wander off too far because if that ice starts moving, it's going to go.
That's right.
Hold it back.
It's going to be fast. Yeah. Well, Earl, we thank you for calling in, and we're going to hear a little bit more about the ice conditions and breakup activity. So, Kuyana, Earl.
Okay. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Yes. we have another caller from EEK. We got John Carter. Good morning, John. Oh, maybe we
Good morning. This is my, this is John Carter. I'm calling from EEK, Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to call over there because I think maybe something that I was talking about just a bit earlier in regards to somebody going up to the city better and doesn't have any place to stay. That's something that I would like to talk about from the person who mentioned something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I like this. He mentioned the place to say whenever somebody goes, he's in the city of Bethel, or the one that one right next to the hospital. I was said what was said by him was very true, and I stayed there a couple of times myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that was brought up where people go up to, go there to the city of Bethel having no place to stay. That is true, especially for the people who go there for medical attention and, or an appointment. I see that so I have two parts. One with travel voucher with YK, and the other one having gone up there without one. The voucher part is prepaid. Maybe that was something you was talking about earlier, but I kind of missed it. If you have a Medicare or Medicaid, and the other one, if you have gone up to the city of Bethel without one, maybe when you inquired about going up to Bethel, maybe the village base facility was not open, and you needed to go up to Bethel maybe on emergency. Like, for instance, I called, I think maybe last Saturday or Sunday or some Saturdays or Sunday mornings to the standby, and I was told that the voucher with the state takes too much time. That is why during the day, I traveled to City of Bethel to pay, and I pay for my own fare. I guess maybe that's all right if you have money to burn. Call over there to say planning. I'm saying that what he mentioned, Karachdam, maybe he's not the only one due to, he has the other part, and that is to be done on the agreement basis. Thank you very much.
Kuyana, John.
Thank you, John. Next we have, excuse me, I'm sorry, from Bethel we have Stella. Good morning, Stella. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hi, Diane. Hi, Peter. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stella.
Yeah, I just want to talk about, I know when I was walking behind, walking towards the store, and I went behind the graveyard, and gosh, it's really sad, these people that drink at night or daytime, and I see a lot of people, I mean, I don't know, people, geez, how can they do this to Bethel? If they want to say Bethel is really beautiful and littering, empty, all these different kind of alcohol, they need to start thinking more smarter. They need to, you know, there's a dumpster, there's where they could throw it in the dumpster. I don't know, it's really sad, but I can't wait till that liquor store closes, and I hopefully no liquor store at Swanson, it will be nice. Also, I know last year my daughter, I know my daughter that she saved a little girl because there's a parent who was drunk, and I want all the parents, our kids are more important than alcohol. Because alcohol is nothing. If people's going to say it's going to relieve their stress or pain or trying to think it'll make them feel better, it doesn't. It makes it worse. And alcohol's not going to solve no problem. It'll just give more problems. And hopefully everybody will realize no more littering empty bottles on the ground. It's really bad. It's really...
Okay. Stella? All right. Thank you, Stella, for calling with your concerns.
Stella, yes, that was good.
A lot of people share those concerns, too, so she's not alone. Next, we have Alon from Iowa. Now, I know Alon. Alon came out here with his wife, Christina, and a colleague of mine, Beth Kersey, to visit the YK Delta. So, Alon, welcome to TalkLine.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. First of all, I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for everyone in Bethel that we've met and we got to hang out with and learn a lot from. We had an amazing time.
Mm-hmm.
Truly a remarkable place. I can't wait to go back.
Great.
On this topic, I've kept on having these dreams since I've been back. And I don't know. I think it's somewhat of a calling, to kind of be back in Bethel. I really enjoyed myself. So
oh, wow.
I wanted to thank you guys.
That's
and
so nice.
I was just wondering, I noticed one thing about some, it seemed like there was a few abandoned cars that I've seen there. And I was wondering if there's any procedure or anything kind of set up to help with that issue.
The abandoned cars of Bethel. Yeah. You know, that could be like a coffee table book. Now, we don't have, we had a procedure at one point. Somebody in town did get a car crusher. And there was supposed to be a deal with the city to crush cars and barge them out of here. And somehow that fell through. The car crusher was sent out of town back into Anchorage or wherever. But let me tell you, I am on the Dead Cars of Bethel story. But yes, good observation.
All right. I'd like to also say that I'm a first-time caller.
Hopefully
there'll be some more phone calls in the near future. But
excellent. Yeah. Okay, well thank you.
Yes.
You guys have a great day.
Alan, thank you for those kind words about describing Bethel. That sounded good. Kuyana, thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Kuyana. All right. Oh, it sounds like the police are after you. Get going.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. I'll say this, and then after Renee, I'll say more, but okay. I'm actually doing a little project. Mm-hmm. And I've divided the town of Bethel into quadrants.
Okay.
And here's what I'm doing. I'm literally counting and documenting every abandoned vehicle or dead car in Bethel, Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm up to 587 cars so far.
Wow.
And I've got about two-thirds of the town done. I've got about a third to go. I won't name the places, but if I name them, you'd probably go, oh, my God, you've got 1,000 cars left. Anyway, let's go to Renee, calling in from the Cultural Center, probably. Hey, Renee.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, good.
All right. Well, I'm just going to mention three things that are upcoming and important.
Okay.
One, there's going to be a Saturday market next week.
Right.
That's always good. Love to have Saturday markets. Love to have vendors coming in here. And this time, as an extra added opportunity for folks, we're having Bethel Bowls immediately after. So we will have set out all of our bowls. We're up to almost 200.
Now, these are soup bowls, not bowling ball bowls, not bowling.
That's right. No. They're soup bowls. And we'll have them set out, and we're going to also this year do something a little different. We're going to have the fancier. We had a couple of different artists make bigger bowls that can do silent auction on.
Wow.
And we're going to do one or two special ones on raffle, so you could buy a ticket and see if you win.
I love a
raffle. So we're trying a couple of new little fun things because all the money we're raising from this is going to go towards Bethel Search and Rescue because they have been just hit hard this last year and a half, and we want to give them some support. So all the funds raised from this will go to them. So that's right at 2, immediately after the Saturday market ends. So everybody should come on down for that. And then the only other thing I'm going to mention is that the Cultural Center's summer youth art camps. We have them set up. It's the first 3 weeks in June this year. We're focusing on different artists, and the kids will be working in their styles. They're going to do Picasso, Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein. So those are some of the artists we're going to focus on, and we're going to try to just introduce students to that. So that's 6 through 12-year-olds. The Art Guild, once again, is providing a $25 scholarship to all students who attend. And then the third week, the first 2 weeks are our regular art camp. The last week is going to be Native Arts class, and we're trying really hard. I think Marie Alfred's going to do story knives with the kids again this year.
Oh, wow.
And we're trying to see if we can get someone to maybe do a sewing thing with them.
Hmm.
So we're going to have some Native Arts classes that third week. And registration, you can start getting a hold of me over here at the Cultural Center, and we'll get your names on the list because they only take 30 per camp. So it's limited in the number of students. So that's it. That's all I've got to say. And
that's great.
Happy spring.
Thank you. And thanks for all your work yesterday on the graduation. It was it was a wonderful day. Everything was set up so well. Thank you so much.
You bet, Diane. It's always fun to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Okay.
Guyana, Renee.
Guyana. Yeah. So, okay. We have Joan from Bethel. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Hi, how are you both doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention about, you know, traditional Eskimo dancing, because growing up, I would, like every holiday, we would, there would be traditional Eskimo dancing in my community. I know every community is different, but you know, everyone knows that it's like a sense of healing, and with how everything is changing, I think we need that kind of healing. I know it might be a funding issue, but I don't know where that would start. Yeah, that's, you know, in Jamai, you know, it, I know with the beat of the drum, that was really awesome. Like, and you can feel that healing in that moment, because it went way back to our ancestors. And so, yeah, that's, it, we need something like that in Bethel, like, for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Where are you from, Joanne?
I'm originally from Kotlik.
Wow, okay. Yeah, yes. I know. Kotlik is known for a lot of good dancing and celebrations up there.
Uh-huh.
I've always been proud to see Kotlik doing, you know, that kind of... You are right about dancing brings out a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
All right.
Yeah,
well, we thank
good.
You for calling in and expressing your thoughts and interest this morning.
All right. Thank
you,
Joanna.
All right.
Okay.
Now it looks like we have a anonymous caller from Upriver.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Oh, hello. You're from Upriver.
Yeah. I just want to say aloha and first time, like, I grew up listening, you know, to my upper and my grandma, and I feel a little bit humiliated in the other. Pardon my Yupik, but anyways, like, they always like to talk about us upriver, like we're not, I don't know how to say it, but anyways, Atchak, remember I met you at 4th of July, we were in line waiting to do something, it was like a big event, but anyways, I always remember you because you turned around and you told me, always be thankful for everything, and when you pray, not only thank God for the good things, but also for the, you know, bum things, because everything happens for a reason.
Yes.
You remember me?
Well.
Yeah. I probably do. You know, I just have to put a face to your name. But we thank you for sharing that, you know. Things always happen for a reason. And
thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you? I hope you have a really great day upriver.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And I
hope
all my water go down to you guys.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, Kuyana, thank you for calling.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
So we have a variety of people have called in.
Yeah,
we had a lower 48 caller from
yeah.
Iowa. We've never had a caller from Iowa, so that happened.
Yeah.
And then we have Bethel Bowls happening in a week at Saturday Market, and that's where you buy a bowl that, and it's a fundraiser. So you buy a bowl from somebody who's made the bowl, donated it, and you can fill it with soups or chili, and they're also going to auction, raffle off some
now,
of the larger bowls.
Now, will they have the chili and soups and stuff
yeah,
already at
that? Yeah, they'll be there.
Okay.
You can buy your bowl
all right.
and then fill it up. Yeah,
okay,
so that'll be cool.
Cool.
Now we have somebody who wants to be known as Bethel.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
yes,
see, I like when people get a little creative with their names. All right.
Yes.
Person who wants to be known as Bethel, welcome to Talkline. You're on the
Thank
air.
Thank you. I'm just calling to find out who the winners were on that Ice Classic.
Oh, yeah. So the winner, there were two people. One was Ben Kuntz.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I think she's going to type in the name. There we go. Yeah, we're zipping through to get it. But
somebody from Kipnakor.
Yeah, it was someone from Ben Kuntz and Lily Carter.
Oh, wow.
From Eek. Lily Carter from Eek, yeah. Ben is from Bethel. Okay. Thank you, Petra, for looking that up for us. Okay, yeah, so, and anything, so there was a calls about leadership mm-hmm. in Bethel, kind of having representation of the villages in Bethel kind of issues, and, excuse me, maybe having a police checkpoint for drinking, mm-hmm. especially coming out of places that serve alcohol. Philly's was mentioned.
Life Fest was, you know, mentioned.
And then a lot of river.
Yeah, a lot of river and being yeah. safe out there. And then more river report. And there was a variety of calls. You still have a little bit more time.
Yeah.
So if you have something on your mind that you'd like to release and share mm-hmm. with the listening audience, you know, you're very welcome. Our lines are wide open right now, 543-5985-2756, 800-9955. I should have it memorized by now.
I know.
995-8954.
And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. Now, yeah. I'm going to tell you a funny story with the abandoned cars of Bethel.
All right.
Because I also check parking lots.
Oh.
So there's the dead cars behind the post office, YKHC. they're everywhere. And then also, of course, my favorite, the airport. And there's some nice vehicles up there that have been just left. But one time I was up there looking at one of the vehicles. Grass was growing around all four tires and no dust on it because it doesn't get driven. So that's one way you can tell an abandoned car. There's no dust. Anyway, I'm staring at it, and from under the engine drops down an ermine.
Wow.
A live ermine. Mm. And I went to get my camera out to try to get a photo of it, and it came out, checked around, stood up, you know, how they can kind of stand up.
Wow.
And then turned around, and the fur was white, and it was cute as it could be. And I thought, wow, nature really is taking over. And it popped right back up into that engine block. And I'm not going to say where I saw it exactly, because I don't want to go back, see that car, and have the little trap set underneath there where the poor thing drops down. But anyway, this ermine has taken up residence in an abandoned vehicle. And I just thought that was, I can't believe how lucky I was on that day to see that.
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, anyway, I have lots of fun stories about my, yes, he is very cute, the ermine. I have lots of fun stories about the abandoned cars. So anyway, and it's just for me. It's just my enjoyment.
Yeah.
I just get a kick out of, like, observing.
So what are you going to do with all that?
With my data? What am I going to do with my data? Yeah. Well, I'm going to turn it into a paper and submit it to a research journal.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Yeah. Nothing. It's just me.
Yeah. But
you know, noticing it.
You know, yes, there are a lot of vehicles here. So I remember when I first came to Bethel, there was only about 50 cars. Whoops. 50 cars in Bethel. You know,
50.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
no traffic jams.
No traffic jam. There was no such thing.
No. You didn't have rush hour.
No, we didn't even know what rush hour was. Until now, you know, now you got to wait on some stop signs. And, you know, sometimes there'd be a line from Watson's Corner all the way towards past the Cultural mm-hmm. Center and going towards the hospital area. So, yes, there are a lot of people with vehicles nowadays.
Well, think about all the people, all the turnover rates of different jobs. So you have people that come in from Lower 48, let's say, and then they have a moving allowance, so they use that to ship in a car, but they don't take it back when they leave. So you get hundreds of cars just keep on flowing in, but they don't go out. It seems like the city should put like a fee or some kind of tax, I don't know, something where if you bring a car in but don't take it out, you have to pay a fee, because somebody's going to have to deal with that vehicle, like drain the liquid. If it can't run anymore, it's got to be drained and prop, you know, whatever. Anyway,
Yes.
That's more about dead cars than anyone
wants
to
hear. We have another caller from Bethel. We got a lot of Bethel calls today.
Yeah.
Howard, good morning.
Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, talking about dead cars.
Yeah.
I wish we had a lot of Mr. Barker's pictures, you know, of the seawall when all those vehicles were on the
That's right.
I bet you that would be a big poster sell, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Or a fundraiser poster, you know?
Hmm.
Well, yeah. I just wanted to see if anybody got that, if they have it.
I've seen a picture of that before somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And they would, they sell it. It'd sell probably, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, have a good... Break up and be safe, you guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, thank you, Howard. Now, so somebody texted me whether I gave a name to the ermine. And you know what I'm going to name that ermine? I'm going to name that ermine Cadillac.
Yeah,
Cadillac.
Yeah.
Because ermine has found the car for him or her. Could be a ermine. So anyway, we have Dave from Bethel. Good morning, Dave. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Dave.
I'm pretty soon coming to the end of the line, and I want to share something with everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
Speaking of dogs, the city of Bethel has hundreds of ordinances on the books and are enforcing none. I believe the only way the people of Bethel can get the city to enforce all the ordinances or take them off the books is to sue them. I really believe that. And it's too bad that some child has to suffer because the city was negligent into enforcing the ordinance. Like I said, there's many, many ordinances on the books, including the sales tax ordinance. That's not being enforced fully. This leads to abuse, to selective enforcement, going after some and not going after others. I came here 1965, and I made Bethel my home. And I'm ashamed of the way the city treats its citizens. Maybe it's time for people to speak up. I've been to city council many times expressing my concerns. Not once did Rick Robb, the mayor of Bethel, get back to me on any of my issues. Not once. I looked in the council package. He never fills out a report to give us anything. I think the solution for Bethel is get rid of this guy and get back to reality. We don't get to elect a mayor. It's elected by the city council. We are second-class city. It's time for change. It's time for the city to enforce the ordinance. I really believe this. The only way to get Rick Robb and the council's attention is to sue them. And I've had opportunity to sue the city when they went after me several times. And I chose not to. Because suing the city is like suing my mother. and I couldn't do that. Hmm. And the people of Bethel better wake up. They better wake up. And that's what I have to say.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, David.
Next we have from Nikolai, Alaska, Dan Esai. Good morning.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
One of my pilot buddies flew the river yesterday. I told him to check on the river ice. And he reported that the East Fork is holding solid, and the North Fork, it's holding solid white ice. That means it's going to break, it might break up in big pieces.
Mm.
It's holding solid all the way from the confluence of North Fork. The East Fork and North Fork is a confluence about 7 bends upriver from the south, from the confluence of North Fork and South Fork, about 3 miles upriver from Medfra. And it's white ice all the way down to a big river. And I heard that I called up Stony River this morning, and they said the ice is moving up there. It's coming out of the Tatlawixik or Swift River.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice looked rotten by McGrath.
Hmm.
So we don't know what's happening. It's still cold up here.
Yes, I was just going to ask you, you know, how cold it is. And then what about your water level? What you doing?
It drained. I'm driving on swamps and lakes again, and I'm out doing my subsistence activities, and cranes are coming in now.
Mm-hmm.
And the swamps drained out to the river, so I don't know. It's halfway from here to the ice is jammed up halfway between here in Medfra, 44 river miles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. You know, we're almost, let's see, you know, we're ice-free in front of Bethel now pretty much. There's, you know, there's a lot of mush-out ice, you know, that have melted in place around here. So we don't have a whole lot of ice downstream way out here towards the mouth of the Kuskokwim, but there's a lot of stoppages and still a little bit of intact ice, you know, in further above from Bethel. And so we still have a lot of breakup to see yet, you know, around here, a lot of ice to come down yet. And one thing we need to know is that also that the River Watch team have left our area and back to Anchorage. So, but in the event that anything, if you know, there's some concerns out there, then you can always call the National Weather Service or the Alaska Homeland Security folks, you know, for any concerns or issues that might need their attention.
Yeah, I don't have no concerns up here because we're on high ground, but I'm worried about all the people downriver from my area. So that's how come I give the reports, and I hope people appreciate it, the river reports and subsistence reports from my area of the woods.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And, yes, we never had that, you know, we never had that info in the past, you know, about... this year has been a very colorful breakup, you know, starting all the way from your country and then all the way down to this area. So yes, people appreciate the report you've been giving this during this breakup season.
Yeah, I'm just curious of what will happen if they have about 3 or 4 days of 50 degree weather. We never hit that yet.
No.
50 degrees.
Mm. Yes, that'll be coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time to call in and give us those details. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thanks for letting me listen in, too.
Okay, Kriana, Dan.
Kriana.
I'll call in on Tuesday.
All right.
All right. Next, we have Yvonne from Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Well, grounded my wife to stay off the river, but gave me green light to hunt on land.
Okay.
But I'll begin with four words: stay off the river.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you heard Earl and Mark. And Mark stated it looks tempting right here in Bethel.
It does.
It looks clear.
Uh huh.
But there's ice up there. And I have seen this many times before, and when it breaks, it's going to come down like a freight train.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right.
And I know some of our loved ones won't listen, and you got to have Plan B in state, and when you're guarding, have it in place, your escape route, or if you're on an island, go to your boat when the ice comes down, because all through the river, water will rise.
That's right. Need to be prepared.
Yeah. And in closing, Wayana Dave, too bad we always wait for bad things to happen. I know I see responsible dog owners, and before this happened, I seen a dog pack, and most of them didn't have that dog collar around them. It's not too late to act, and this goes out to friends of canines, too.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, the children will be out of school, and let's get it done.
Yes. Brianna.
Yeah, thank you.
Brianna.
Thank you. All right, so we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to about 3 minutes left. I wanted to get clear on a couple of meetings that happen weekly, because I wasn't sure I gave the proper information. So one is AA meetings happen every Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30 at the Bethel Family Clinic. Then there's something called Smart Recovery, which I think is also related to addiction, happens every Tuesday from 5:30 to 6:30 at the Bethel Family Clinic. So Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5:30 to 6:30 at Bethel Family Clinic, there are recovery groups, AA and Smart Recovery. Then on Thursday nights at 6:30 at the Bethel Covenant Church, there's Narcotics Anonymous, and they have recovery meetings. So anyway, we're going to go quickly to an anonymous call from Bethel. You have about 2 minutes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Whoa, we're just in Los Angeles. For everybody, that's the wind system. Following.
Okay. Okay, okay, we can't really understand you. Okay, so the anonymous caller is gone back into anonymity. They're gone now.
Sounds
like they were calling from, like, outside.
Yeah, it sounded like, yeah, there's, yeah, that issue with weather today, so pay attention to that today.
Yeah.
If you have to be outside, you need to be prepared.
Yeah, thank
there's,
everyone.
Some warnings, you know, from the National Weather Service about our weather in this area, so be prepared and be vigilant.
Yeah, and have a great day and weekend, and it's good to be back, and thank you, Peter, for being here, and we'll both be here next Friday for Talkline.
Yeah, thank you to all the people that called. We have a wonderful day outside, no matter what's going on out there, you know, just have a cheerful attitude out there between each other. We're on a technical. Thank you.
Yeah.